p.m. 2522 Southeast Clinton. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, December 12th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm on the web. A few headlines before we get rolling, but later in the program, we're going to be speaking with Chase Murdoch. Listeners may remember him from the book, The Passion of Bradley Manning. Now, of course, Chelsea Manning, there's another edition of the book out, I believe. But today we're going to be talking with Chase about the main prerequisite. If you're going to have a police state, the first thing you've got to do is criminalize every aspect of everyday life. Everyone is a potential suspect, and pretty much everything that one does, depending on one's socioeconomic level, can be construed as a crime. And in San Francisco, a real protest, a fake Google employee, a virtual video, and some shiny buses brought attention to the growing gap and tension between San Francisco's moneyed technocrats and the city's working poor. We'll have more on that brilliant stunt. American over-policing involves far more than the widely reported up-armoring of your local precinct. It's also the way police power has entered the DNA of social policy, turning just about every sphere of American life into a police matter. Chase will be talking about that. And the Oregon Business Association issued an early endorsement of John Kitzhaber's candidacy yesterday, just a couple of days after the governor formally announced that he's running again. Yeah, this is the same governor that those who were in Salem recall for the state land board giveaway of the Elliott State Forest to clear-cutting timber companies. John Kitzhaber said it was nothing. It amounted to the sale of a Picasso painting. Picasso painting simply changing hands from one owner to another. Forgetting, of course, that the new owners of a Picasso painting generally don't scrape all the paint off. We have weather for you today. Oh, and of course, Edward Snowden took second place as Times Man of the Year. Pope Francis, of course, took first place. And let's remember that before he was Pope, Pope Francis used to be a bouncer at a club. Today's weather, today cloudy, and we've got morning freezing fog. Rain apparently coming in the afternoon, high 35 to 40. Medium wind, 5 to 10. It could gust up to 15, 25 out in the gorge. For tonight, expect some rain and winds 5 to 15. Cool temperatures in the low 30s. For tomorrow, overcast skies, 50-50 as far as showers are concerned, and highs around 45. For tomorrow night, Friday night, overcast and slight chance of showers in the evening. Fog after midnight and lows around 35. And as for the alternative, we're going to have to catch up with the alternative forecast a little bit later. As here in Cascadia, we know everything is pretty much frozen still. Before we get to any of these local stories, and of course, Kitzhaber's, the early endorsement of a business group for John Kitzhaber, that is perhaps all one really needs to know about where our governor's priorities actually lie. And more on that later. First, though, let's welcome Chase Medar to the KBOO Airways, author of The Passion of Bradley Manning, and many, many articles, pieces that listeners perhaps are familiar with. Good morning, Chase, and welcome back.
Good morning to you, Chris. Great to be talking with you again.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you on the show. So you wrote a piece that definitely got my attention. It's something I have been digging up for a long time. In this post-USA Patriot world that we live in, many people coming up, this is about it. It's in their adult lives, this is the only way of life they know. So they have come to basically accept the fact that we've pretty much criminalized or introduced a potential criminalization of every aspect of everyday life. How did we get here?
Well, we have the war on drugs and the war on crime that really introduced most recently this wave of heavy-handed police response to things that would be better resolved without SWAT teams or armored vehicles sold on the cheap by the military to your local constabulary, or tasers or flashbang grenades. And we have increasingly criminal law and police power used to solve all of our social problems, even things like disorder in public schools, immigration, which used to be a matter of administrative law, is more and more something heavily policed and militarized. Even something as boring and unobjectionable as white-collar office work. There's such a mayor's nest of federal laws regulating that are not entirely transparent or reasonable, that it's quite common for your average American professional to commit 3 felonies a day without even knowing it.
And this is serious business. You have to laugh or you'd weep at the spectacle. It seems too that the way that police operate in civil society has become exceptionally militarized. When one does have an encounter with the police, there used to be channels of communication that one was aware of, and now they are in another world, a world of absolute power, where there is nothing you can do because you are treated almost as a different species. It's an extraordinary situation, and because people don't seem to be really conscious of it until they find themselves in custody, people don't seem to be very aware of it. Why is that? I find it extraordinary. I'm constantly aware of it, and it seems that others, not so much, until, of course, mm-hmm. it gets there.
Well, yeah, Chris, I mean, as you say, we are edging towards a culture of police impunity, where police can do, all kinds of things, whatever they want, and where everything is a police matter. I happen to believe, and from the responses to my article, the over-policing of America, I'm getting to feel that a lot of other people agree with me, that police power should really be a last resort when you call in armed agents of the state. A last resort, not the first or second, because when you just send in cops willy-nilly, that can frequently be very counterproductive. And instead of solving whatever problem you have, it just creates a new kind of violence and chaos. And I should be clear that over-policing and over-criminalization is not something brand new. I mean, for out groups in American history, for Black Americans, for undocumented immigrants, for gays and lesbians, their lives have frequently and very often in the sweep of American history been heavily policed. It goes in waves, but what you have now is this kind of extreme police response to everything. And police power and criminal law entering the DNA of all social policy, or close to all of it, where things that a generation ago would never involve a police officer more and more do. I mean, you see this in our schools, where more and more public schools have a police presence in them. They have metal detectors at the door. They're treating the kids like, you know, criminals in training rather than like kids who are there to learn. There are plenty of successful alternatives to how you can get order and discipline in a school. And, you know, I believe in law and order. My dirty secret is I'm not an anarchist. I'm just a lawyer. you can get order in schools, even in, you know, working class schools. Or urban schools where a lot of the students are below the poverty line without getting the police in. And that's something where there's a lot of good policy work and well-documented successes. But our political class seems to not want to know about this and instead prefers to send in the police, install metal detectors so they can look tough. And the result is you have six-year-olds getting arrested for normal childish misbehavior. 6 and 7 year olds handcuffed because they throw a tantrum,
or far less. Can get depending on again their socioeconomic status, far less than a tantrum can have them wind up handcuffed and being treated as a hardened criminal.
All of this over policing comes down much harder on people without money compared to people with money, and it comes down a lot harder on Black Americans, American Indians, Latinos, immigrants, than white Americans, generally speaking. But the way we do equality in this country seems to be we end up treating everyone like crap. So no matter who you are, you have real reason, I think, to be concerned about the over-policing of America and just the criminalization of everyday life.
And it's, of course, yeah, and then once you are in custody, then the only question that matters is how much justice can you afford. Chase, this is an incredible honor. It's great, Mike. Chase Meadows is an attorney, as you mentioned, and a Tom Dispatch regular, and the author of The Passion of Chelsea Manning, the story behind, of course, the Man of the Year. The man of many years, the first WikiLeaks whistleblower, who in essence paved the way for Edward Snowden. And we are still waiting for more people to emerge from the barricades of our corporatized government to bring us news of what actually is going on in there. Again, a story which is directly relates to what we've just been talking about. Utah has what's known as an ag gag law. Now, the ag gag statute makes it a criminal offense to record activities at huge meat processing, slaughterhouses, meat processing, in feedlots, in places where vast, as far as the eye can see, tracts of land are devoted to the cultivation of corn, soybeans, and all these other GMO types of crops. So it is now in Utah, it is a criminal offense to record these goings-on. Journalists and organizations that conduct investigations into meat processing facilities have long been credited with advancing the safety of the meat that that people consume. And the legal brief argues that federal inspection has drastically improved the safety of the meat in the past century, but problems within the inspection system leave a gap in food safety that journalists and animal rights organizations have filled. This is the brief that I refer to is, of course, a lawsuit that has been launched to oppose this ridiculous law. More and more we're seeing that journalism is being criminalized now. More and more often it is a crime to report on what actually is going on right under our feet. And once journalists have been targeted, then of course we know exactly where that leads. We talk about fascism frequently, refer to it, but the notion that we do in fact live in what could very legitimately be called a fascist state We talk about it, but it just doesn't seem to really have hit home. More on that later, and of course, want to talk more about Alex's influence as well as other agencies of repression across the country. Don't forget, too, that we've got a $670 billion defense bill, which is about to be rammed through. That's it for Air Cascadia for Thursday, December 12th, 2013. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Thanks so much for this, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is, of course, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take the stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, we proudly present an encore broadcast of our annual broadcast from The Rock, Alcatraz Island in San Francisco, recorded and broadcast live on Thanksgiving morning. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.
Program. My name is Miguel de la Molina. I'm here with Jimmy Antoine from Bay Area Native Circle. We will be co-hosting live from The Rock, Free Radio Alcatraz, this Thursday morning, the 28th of November 2013. I'm joined here by the crew of KPFA.